Welcome, everybody, to Checkpoint AFK, the only game show, not game show, only show that we do that is about gaming lifestyle.
Is it a game show? Am I going to win something?
Yeah, you're going to win just like the happiness that we get to talk to you.
You win our friendship.
Yeah, you win our friendship. The only show that we have about...
So there's a chance I'll lose it?
We're going to be so much better with this.
I get so nervous. I don't know why. I get so nervous.
It's his first time leaving the show. Give him a little bit of a break.
I'm usually better when I know when I've lead the show before, but I haven't done this one. Anyways, we have today Matthew Cote, game director of Dead by Daylight. Thank you for coming, Matthew.
Hi.
Now, before we even get started, I have a huge, huge question and a serious one. Okay. Did you guys nerf the butt of...
I think Polygon presented a very interesting piece of investigative journalism regarding that subject. Yeah, they did, actually. There is an article, and I was quoted on it. And I will reiterate it. We did modify slightly the garments.
The garments. Okay, blame it on garments. The clothes.
And,
didn't nerf his butt. You just nerfed his pants.
Yeah, because
I'll be honest.
The gay. All I saw on gay Twitter, which is a thing, gay Twitter blew up when supposedly Pyramid Head's butt was nerfed, quote unquote. So I just had to open with that and really honestly get that out.
That's so crazy because, you know, coming from a background in Final Fantasy, there was a time in Final Fantasy 14 where the Makote, the cat girl butts, were stealth nerfed at some point. I don't know that they ever got, you know, if Square Enix ever said anything one way or another, but that was definitely something that happened in another game as well. So that's interesting.
When I let you guys control AFK, we are literally not even 3 minutes into the show. We've already talked about cat girl butts and pyramid. So,
see, that's what happened. Maybe you should have led the show in general.
I should not have led.
I wasn't ready. You told me like 5 minutes before we started that I could lead, and I was like, all right.
I have given you the keys to the kingdom, Chet. But anyway, welcome, Matthew, to the show, and we're happy to have
you fine.
Here.
Is this just a show about butts? I'm okay with that.
That's usually
best video game butts, which, by the way, Chad, you put out on Twitter another butt reference with the whole DS.
Actually Rick, I believe.
Oh, was Rick did that.
That was Rick.
Like, but I definitely approved it. There was a picture on it. There was definitely a picture of Game Boy DS.
It was a DS case.
A case, but like the way the strap laid, it looked like a really nice ass. I'm not going to lie. So
now I want to see.
It's on our Twitter. You can find it. It was yesterday.
Oh,
I believe.
Gosh. But Chad can never leave the show again.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Matthew, you're here with us, and you know, to talk a lot about, you know, video game communities, because Dead by Daylight is one of the most sort of vocal and kind of close knit and really awesome communities out there in video games. I am remiss to say that I have not played the game enough to consider myself part of that community, but Chad is a huge fan, a huge proponent of the game. He's talking about it all the time, and if the community is anything like Chad, they're great people and slightly worrying, but great people.
What we're aiming for. Just slightly upsetting, but awesome. Yeah.
I think I'm the poster child of your community. I'm not going to lie. Me and Polly.
But just to touch on something you said, I mean, even if you're just a casual player, even if you don't really play, but you like the game and you like the people in it, or, you know, we have some people who just are part of that pool of people, and they're just... They just like to hang out and talk about DBD and use that as a sort of a metaphor for the world, because that's sort of what games are and to a certain extent what art is. It's an excuse to talk about us and to talk about each other. And the Dead by Daylight community is kind of intense, but it's also kind of beautiful. There are some nasty bits in there. That's normal. That's part of society. But we do work really, really hard to try to make it a place where people can feel comfortable, if it's possible.
Right. I mean, and it's not even just like you're like the community within Dead by Daylight. It's really kind of like this horror genre community in general that kind of like really reels back into the Dead by Daylight thing. I think it's because you guys have like so many different things that you have going on. It's not just like Jason or things like that. You have like all these different ones plus your new characters, so people are invested in what you guys are doing. So it's kind of like it's kind of cool to see that you are essentially the gaming horror genre community all in one.
Yeah, we like to say that we're the place where all of horror comes to play, and we're the place where horror lives.
Yeah,
and it's true because it's, I mean, we didn't plan it that way, but the universe that we built, I mean, it, you know, the intention at the beginning was always to create a game with its own fiction and its own world that would allow for horror icons and legends and characters to come in without diluting what we are, without changing our universe. It's a universe that allows for those visits, and it allowed for these characters to come in without changing who they are, and it allows for our world to sustain and withstand them without having to change. And I think we've created that very well.
And I really love that too, because, you know, we talk a lot about like franchise crossovers and stuff, and Dead by Daylight has essentially become the Smash Brothers of horror. And I really
enjoy
that.
Really good
that.
Way to put it.
That's a good quote.
That's a ridiculously flattering thing to say.
Well, it's because, I mean, I don't, like I said, Chad will come in and he'll say, a new character's coming out. Who could it be? And I mean, there's this whole, you know, just sort of energy and movement behind, you know, what characters and what, you know, villains or killers or whatever could be in the game. And I love that energy because it goes, as somebody like myself who is very heavy into fighting games, I understand that energy completely because when they say a new character is coming out and, you know, people are, oh, man, who could it be, man? Could it be this character from a game way back in 1988? Could it be this character? And I really love seeing communities speculate positively. I hate to see when communities begin to speculate about stuff when, you know, it's about something really negative or really toxic or disturbing. But when it comes to what you guys are doing with Dead by Daylight, I love that because every single time you guys say that a new character is coming out, Chad for 2 weeks loses his mind and fills the chat with Dead by Daylight stuff. And we can't talk to him about anything else, and I think that's a positive part.
Absolutely.
Of the energy that you guys have created with the game.
Thank you. And yes, the crazy thing is, for a lot of these franchises that we have in the game, I feel like we may have been one of the most faithful representation of what they stand for in a game. Because I mean, it's really, really cool that you can play, I don't know, Freddy Krueger and Mortal Kombat. I love Mortal Kombat. I think it's really, really cool. But Freddy Krueger at its core is not a martial artist.
No,
That's not the character. No.
Yeah.
It's really cool, but that's not it. The fantasy of being Freddy Krueger, I think, is really well represented in Dead by Daylight. And so is the case for all the other characters that we put in. And that's one of our strengths, is that these characters, when I say that they come into our game without having to change who they are, it's really about allowing players that fantasy of playing these characters that they know and love in a certain way that is as close as possible to living the dream. I mean, we were talking to some of our friends at Netflix, and they were talking about the fact that they were so excited that you could actually run as the Demogorgon in a game and really feel that strength and the terrifying presence of that character. And they were really happy that we were able to bring that into the game. But at the same time, you're able to be the Demogorgon and you're running after Laurie Strode in, you know, whatever, the map from any other movie, like the game from the Saw franchise. And it makes no sense that all of these things are mashed together, but within Dead immersed. By Daylight, it works.
Right.
It still works.
I, 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 I want to bring up a point too, because like we were talking before we even went live about the newest addition to Dead by Daylight, Pyramid Head from Silent Hill, and how big of a deal this is. And we were talking about how like maybe a lot of people don't realize how big of a deal this is.
This is the first crossover with another game franchise, isn't it?
Technically, no. But
we have Bill from Left 4 Dead.
Ah,
but this is the first killer.
Right.
That's true. It is the first killer, and also when we did Bill from Left 4 Dead, it was just a survivor, and he came with a bunch of outfits for our original characters, so you could dress as the other characters, but it was a very small little thing.
But
it was the first time we had a crossover with a video game.
Yeah, but you know, I think it's still different saying, like, from, I don't know, I mean, Left 4 Dead, big franchise, but, like, where's the third one?
It's not as iconic. It's not as iconic as Pyramid Head.
And where's the third one? Because I'm looking at you, Valve. Where's the third one? Because you can never make a third game. Just saying, Valve, get your shit together. But anyways, I think it's definitely not as iconic as Robbie said. It's not an iconic thing. Like, they made movies about this. Like, you know,
Silent
what I mean?
Hill is legendary.
Exactly. Yes.
It has a status that is part of the culture of video game, of what video games stand for, and it will be there forever. And it's funny because there's a little home test that I run whenever we talk about a new franchise. One of my best friends as a kid, he's probably like 16 or 17 now, and he's been playing DBD since it launched. He shouldn't be, but that I'm not the parent here. But he's been a big DBD fan since the beginning. And whenever we have a new potential license like this, I just ask him, does he care about that character? You know, because he's a young kid. Like, I'm like, the last Silent Hill game was, I think, before he was born almost. So, you care about it? And he's like, yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's this character. Everybody knows Pyramid Head. And I'm like, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I think
you've
even
never played the game. He's probably never watched the movies or anything, but those characters, those universes that they've created are sort of everywhere in the fabric of video game culture.
Well, and that sort of, you know, speaks to all of the characters that you guys have in the game. And that's what I think is really awesome about it. But I have a quick question just in terms of like the feedback that you guys get based around, you know, when you guys announced something or when you guys were originally building everything out. At what point when you guys started adding more to the game and you saw people's reaction, did you go like, we really got something special here. Let's lean more into this. At what point did you go, oh my God, like people actually really like this?
You know, it's funny. I try to put myself back in the mindset I was in 4 years or so ago when we launched the game. And it was just this little thing. We had three killers. We had four survivors. We had a couple maps. And we're like, we think we have something special.
Right.
We released it. And you know, I look back and people should, well, they can't, but like playing back the original build that we released at that time, it was all janky and there was a lot of stuff missing. You couldn't kill your friends. You couldn't survive with friends. there's so many gameplay mechanics and things and menu flows and name it. There's so many issues, but the core was there. The idea of what Dead by Daylight is, that the hide and seek fun and that fantasy of being the killer and that fantasy of being a survivor that's almost completely powerless, but not quite. That you can, maybe you can make it. And to a certain extent, I think maybe that fantasy might have been stronger then, because now with all the perks and the powers and everything, the survivors may feel a little too in control. That's besides the point. The thing is, we released something that I think was special, and as soon as it launched, literally the first week, we realized just how much appeal it had and just how much more people wanted from it, and we doubled down. That was the smart move, I think. We were able to quickly double down, grow the team, immediately start sending out feelers to get in contact with some people who had expertise that we were missing. Literally, when we launched, we hired a PR brand manager at the time, and he came in a week before we launched. We're like, literally the first day on the job, we're like, next week you're going to be at E3. We're launching the game. It's like, wow. Okay.
All right, let me go and panic in the closet real quick.
I mean, he did an awesome job. Don't get me wrong. Oh, good. But it was crazy because we had no clue what we were doing. But the good thing is we were able to focus on what was important. And then we started releasing new chapters. The next chapter, that was the last breath. As the nurse, it was Nia. And the thing is, at that point, it really started to go well. We were selling copies. We were excited. And we decided, you know what? We'll do this one for free. Just because we were being much more popular than we thought we were going to be. And it was sort of our gift to people who were like, just take it. We'll monetize later. That's fine. And then after that, the next update, we got Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the moment that sort of cinched everything. The whole deal for us. Because we went out looking for a possible license, and we ended up picking what is arguably, you know, however you organize your top five of horror franchises in the world, Michael Myers is in there somewhere.
Yeah. Oh,
I want to say he's the biggest, but it doesn't matter. He's in the top for sure. And we managed to get the original movie, which was also very much in line with the way we were building the game, you know, going to the originals, the core of that, very much inspired by the 70s and the 80s and that sort of tension build up as opposed to really showcasing the actual violence or the result of that. Mm-hmm. It's all built on the tension and the suspense, and it worked so well. And when we managed to get Halloween in the game, from that moment on, we're like, okay, we need to just go bigger from there. We can't really go smaller, you know?
Do you think you'll go too far, like to the point where you're like, how are we going to beat this? Like, I'm sure you probably
every time we
times.
Say that, like when Stranger Things released last year, it was the biggest thing ever.
Yeah,
we had never done a franchise that was current, that was contemporary. Mm-hmm. Stranger Things is based off it's built on nostalgia of the 80s, so it was a perfect fit. But it was the biggest thing on Netflix at the time. It's still today one of the biggest licenses that they have. It's amazing. And it was the first time that we went for something that was contemporary, that was the thing of the day. And it worked. And it was the biggest thing we've ever done. And then we're like, okay, so how do we top that?
Yeah,
how
Godzilla.
Do we go bigger than
Godzilla?
That?
Is that what you said? I mean, that's interesting.
And we have a sort of an unofficial list that we sort of throw at each other, and then we add things and we remove things and we go, how about this? And then we go, yeah, that's jumping the shark. Like, that's much. That's stupid. Let's
so
not
Jaws, there's going to be no Jaws character. I mean, I'd love
that's very literally jumping the shark, but that'd be difficult for sure. And then we did Silent Hill, and we go, fuck, that's bigger than Stranger Things. Now, what's the next thing? I don't know.
I don't know. I think you've opened up Pandora's box, essentially, because you've now opened it to where it's not just where people are speculating about, you know, movies anymore, like the movie horror icons. We're talking about video game horror icons, which is like a whole second.
Nemesis. I want to see Nemesis.
We've stated it very clearly now. No medium is out of question.
I'm still waiting for the Supernatural crossover. That'll get me to play. That'll get me to play.
Put Cthulhu. And listen, let me shut up. I'm just gonna get too excited because I love watching people play this game because it's really intense. And I know we're talking a lot about, you know, you guys' development decisions, but what makes me attracted to this game as a viewer, because it is probably one of the games that I watch more than I play, and I don't
it's
have
a good
lot
show.
Of those games. Yeah, I don't have a lot of games that I watch more than I play, but Dead by Daylight is one of them. And for me, it's as you were talking about, it's that tension, but it's the people, and they get so turned up about what's going on in the game that I don't see that in other video games. And so I really enjoy watching people scare the shit out of each other and get really and get tensed up for, you know, something that, as you said, is essentially hide and seek.
Yeah.
It is at its core such a simple
gameplay
design.
It's very
it's so
human.
Deep.
Yeah.
It's very human.
It's so deep. Yeah.
That's
I love
the thing.
That.
Hide and seek is universal. Like, it doesn't matter where you grew up in the world. There was a version of hide and seek, whether it was hide and seek or cops and robbers or whatever, some version of it. Every single kid hid in a corner and got giddy scared, where you get that mix of you're terrified, but you know you're not in danger.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. And that's kind of what we recreated. And the beauty for me, the most amazing moments is when I watch a streamer that has 8,000 hours in the game, literally plays this game 8 hours a day, 4 or 5 days a week for the last 3 years. And then we release a new killer, and then they play and they fucking scream and shriek.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, we got it.
Yeah. I will say this is one of the few games, like, after a while, you get a little complacent when you play this game because you're used to the characters and you know what's going to happen. It's like, oh, it's so-and-so. I have to do this, and this. But when you release a new character, there's a whole new level of anticipation. Like, I don't know what to expect. I don't know how to, especially, I still scream at Ghostface. I'm not going to lie. No matter what, I'm never not going to scream at Ghostface.
Kind of cheeky.
Yeah, he's always going to scare me, but like, I'm still scared every new character as well. But I also want to bring up something that you mentioned about, you know, watching streamers, and I want to say something, like, I want to praise Dead by Daylight on something that I witnessed after the day of the release of Silent Hill. And that was, I was watching, you know, several different streams of Dead by Daylight that night, and I watched on two occasions Dead by Daylight come into the stream chat and then give away, you guys were giving away DLC copies for on the stream, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. You might want to correct me if I'm wrong.
It's absolutely possible. It's a tradition.
Yeah, and I thought that was, what a great, well, one, great PR, hello, and two, like, that's just so fun. Like, I thought that was cool. I saw Trixie Mattel was doing it, and Dead by Daylight went into the stream, and I was like, this is such a very great way to kind of build that community.
But the thing is, you know, that's from the beginning. The first day of Dead by Daylight, that was essentially me going into people's stream because we had no PR. We had no marketing. We were just doing everything we could to try to get people to pay attention. So whenever there was a streamer with 20 viewers playing the game, we'd jump in and start giving away codes and whatnot and talk to them and chat and go, oh, do you like the game? And, you know, tell us what you think, what we should be doing next. And it quickly turned into, no, obviously, we have a huge community team. They're absolutely amazing. All the people in there, they do awesome work, and it's tough work. It is. It's tough work.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go on. It's sort of thankless sometimes because you spend your days sort of macerating in a brine of salt, you know, and it's rough. But you are on the front line of all of these amazing people who poured their heart and soul into the game. And I don't know, the cosplayers and people who create content, whether it's art, music, whatever, because they're inspired by the game. The people who just got together because of Dead by Daylight and became friends and formed groups and charities and all of these things that happen because of a common center point that people rally around. It's amazing, but it's also rough. It's rough for our community team, but they do an amazing job. And one of the things that we love is that they stay very, very connected to the community. And it's always been very important, not just in the activities, the way you talk about it, that we go into the stream and we talk to people directly, but in the tone also. It's important. It's not a corporate machine. It's not a statement from behavior about Dead by Daylight. It's the devs chatting with people and asking questions and genuinely listening.
That's such an important thing too. You know, as someone who basically found my career here after spending years and years and years, you know, under the shadow of the Square Enix and Final Fantasy fandom, it was like pulling teeth, you know, having this great community and having these amazing fans, but then also trying to find some form of recognition from Square Enix and the developers themselves, and to know that from the beginning, you know, you guys, you know, when you had started small, were in these you know, Twitch streams and in these chat rooms, you know, interacting with your community, mm-hmm. you know, giving out free codes and just trying to be a part of it. That goes so far in helping to develop the sort of community that you yep. have now, and I think that's absolutely amazing. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and we try to do that as much as possible. Like for instance, well, last year, because nowadays we don't do so many live events, but last year was the last time we did that, and we went, for instance, to Gamescom. And Gamescom, we were there to do a few interviews and to meet some potential partners,
kiss some babies.
Like yeah, we didn't have a boot, but we put together a party. Like, just we rented a place and we invited a couple of hundred people and just people from the community. We just posted it on Twitter saying, "Hey, if you want to come by and say hi and have a, you know, a food and drinks together and chit chat about Dead by Daylight." And it was so amazing to see these people come in and to have these people meet also for the first time that have been friends and playing online for, you know, a year maybe, and they've never met in real life. It was really nice to be able to sort of foster that and bring that together.
I want to say, like, behavior in general, like, I'm glad you guys started small and kind of grew, because I think you guys clearly understand the purpose and point of a community.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And I think that's one thing that we see in the bigger companies, like these huge, like Blizzards and things like that. They try real hard to make community, but they don't, they kind of stay out of it. Like, the community has to run itself. And
the
thing
is, they are clients to a certain extent.
Yeah.
To a very real extent. I mean, they pay our salary. We have to respect mm-hmm. that. But it's not true that, you know, the client's always right. You have to. There are some people, like, for instance, a very real example.
I want you to say that one more time, because one of my big things is even though I love communities and I love that people can be vocal and talk to yep. game devs about what they like and dislike about the game, most of these people are not game developers, and thus they don't know what goes into something like balance. So please
yes.
say that one more time.
the players are not always right. They sometimes are, and we need to listen. But you know, and we've said that in a few different ways in the past, but talking about how we, for instance, when we release a new killer, and everybody has a knee-jerk reaction going, like, literally, you have posts one after the other. The first one says he's OP, nobody can do anything
too
about
it. Always.
And the next yeah. one says he's shit, you know, you can't win.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, give it a week, please. Give it a week.
Yeah.
Try a few things. Your strategy that worked yesterday against all the killers does not work today. That's fine. Yeah. Try something else.
Exactly.
And maybe you're right. Maybe he is imbalanced and we need to tweak a few things. That's very possible. But we're not going to do that today. We're going to do it maybe in a week.
Yeah,
so we've done that in the past, react a little too strongly. But we have sort of a triangle of things that we look at when we want to modify or balance something. One point is the community talking. One point is the data that we accumulate. We have analytics where we check, you know, the matches played and the all the stats and beautiful graphs and things. And then the third point is our own gut feeling. We've yeah. made this game. The designers on this game know it inside and out, and they have their own vision of what it should be. And we need to keep trusting our gut in this to a certain extent.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's a part of, you know, when it comes to communities that are really close knit, like Dead by Daylight and many other ones. I do feel like a lot of times that these communities, while they do ultimately will to power in terms of they can stop buying the game or supporting the game. I do think sometimes that the level of access that communities have sometimes can breed toxicity. And, yep. you know, I really like the fact that you guys are very vocal as developers and as community managers. You go out into the streams, you talk to people, you really get down at the grassroots on the ground level to hear what your player base is talking about.
Yeah.
But ultimately, how difficult does it become sometimes when you know for a fact that this is just like a toxic viewpoint, right? Like not to necessarily say that, like, how do you combat that when it's like, oh, okay, this is just a group of players who are mad. There's actually nothing really wrong here.
Let me give you an example, because these wrong viewpoints, I tend to not associate them with gameplay mechanics, because this is just, it's gameplay mechanics. It doesn't really matter in the end. Wrong viewpoints for me, we have good examples. A couple of weeks ago, well, in the last, let's say, month and a half, we had a few different posts that we made that were very important to us. There was a bunch of posts about the Black Lives Matter movement. Right. And there was a bunch of posts about the Pride Month that we made. And when we did these, we very clearly stated our position.
Yeah.
It was not wishy-washy. It was just us saying, we think that these things are important. We want people out there to hear us loud and clear, because we feel that as people who create content in the world today, we have a moral responsibility to try to bring, without being too grandiose about it, we have a moral responsibility to try to bring the world to a place we feel is a better place. That's all. We'll do our best to drag people along. So when we did those posts, both times when we did the posts about the Black Lives Matter movement and when we did the posts about the Pride Month, we had a lot of really warm and excited and fun, supportive people respond. We also had a lot of really horrible, hostile, negative people respond. And our community team, again, it was really hard for them because they're passionate about this and they feel it and they have a lot of empathy for people.
Yeah.
But they took a bit of pleasure in blocking a shit ton of these people. Yeah. And
they should.
And it's important to do that because not all players, they're not all valid opinions. It's not a pleasant place for discourse. This is a place where we want to foster a certain community. And we want to make sure that the people who are part of this community feel safe, feel supported, feel listened to. And if we allow hate and if we allow, you know, disrespect to exist within that community, we fail our players.
We have that same challenge here because, you know, we're news, essentially, is what most people think of us, news and content. And so a lot of people we get, if we put anything out there, like we put a strong stance on LGBT things, obviously, because of me and Callie, another host, and trans, because Callie is trans and openly trans. So it's, we have a clear, like, and then obviously Black Lives Matter, you know, as well. But we have a clear area where we line and where we lie. But at the same time, we always get told, stick to games. Just keep the politics out of the games. Yeah. It's like, no, politics is part of our
everything.
Life and everything.
It's
games
part of
everything. Is part of like, yeah. We're going to talk about it. It's part of humanity.
And the funny thing about it, when we're talking about these sorts of gaming communities that I always found very interesting, is that, you know, people will make these comments in, you know, various, you know, chats or, you know, on social media or whatever. And it just cracks me up because so many of the people that you're playing this game with, I guarantee you, are members of the groups that you're disparaging. And yes. That's the part I don't understand, is that when it comes to online games, there are people whose friend lists are filled with LGBTQ people who don't even know that they're LGBTQ people.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, this, I play with this person every weekend. They're awesome. And then will go and say the most horrid things about gay folks and not even understand that they are literally a router removed.
But that's a good way of putting it. But it's absolutely true. But it's also it's a representation of something that happens in real life. I mean, it's your neighbor. It's a comment, an offhand comment someone makes at the coffee shop, and it always impacts people around you, whatever you do. And so what you're saying about, we're news and we're entertainment and therefore we're not politicians. It's true, you're not politicians, but you are part of culture. And being part of culture is what drives politics. It's what drives, I mean, you can see it. I mean, I'm all the way up in Canada and I'm a little far removed from the United States, but you can see the difference between politics and then the movement of the culture of the country, which is two different movements that are moving in different directions and creating tensions and dynamic things right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, anything that happens in America is with game developers specifically, you want to know these things. Like America's a huge like pile of people where you guys really I just say pile right now because I'm my opinions right now just a huge pile of people where you guys want to get that, you know, that support, or you want to show that support to those people, I guess is what I want to say. So I think you guys did a very good job at like showing your support in the way you guys kind of handle toxicity. But I also think that like we bring up toxicity because today, or maybe it was last night, I saw what Alinity was going through and how she had what I believe, I don't want to quote it, but she essentially said she had some suicidal thoughts. And I really think that the toxicity online is really becoming rampant lately. And I wanted to kind of just mention that. And also the suicide prevention hotline is available. I mean, I don't have the number right in front of me. If someone could find it and put it in the chat, that'd be really great.
Yes, please.
I wanted to bring that up because I think so many streamers right now get a lot of hate.
You know, in bringing that up though, Chad, is that, you know, especially in the case of somebody like Alinity, who I will say in many ways has not done her public persona a lot of favors. Yeah. I'll just say that. I will never say that anyone, you know, deserves, you know, any sort of stuff like that. But, you know, when you are a front-facing individual, you know, there's a certain level of scrutiny that does come with this. However, when you see some of these chats and how terrible they can get, and how, you know, how quick people are to make ad hominem attacks instead of, it's one thing to say, you know, I don't like you because of the way you treat your cat. It's another way to be like, you should go jump off a bridge. Yeah. Like completely bad. Two completely different things. And I think as we see more and more communities, and it's starting to get revealed just how terrible and how many awful things go on behind the scenes in a lot of these communities, now more than ever, I think we as gamers need to step up and really be there for each other. I love having this conversation and seeing all of the, you know, the Dead by Daylight folks who, I will be honest, are not usually at our channel. But you know what? I appreciate you guys. And I appreciate you guys because what I'm seeing is a lot of positivity, people throwing a lot of really funny emotes into the chat and supporting each other. And that's the type of stuff that video games needs more of. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care how, you know, I don't care that you want to sit here and prove that you know, I know more than the devs. I don't care. Be a good person. Be nice. Like, flat
you're
out.
Right.
This is how, it's so simple. Like, that's, you get more with honey than you do with vinegar.
But that's it. And I think that just to get back on what you were saying, I don't think it's new. I don't think the toxicity is new or even worse than it's been. I think that it's more open and we talk a lot more about it. And that's good. That's usually the first step towards, you know, things getting better. Right, and it means that maybe it'll make it easier for people in chat because it's the same thing. We used this, like I used to hear that a while ago, and it's getting much more relevant today. But you know, you're in the office, whatever, you're in an environment, and you hear someone make a comment, whether it's a sexist comment or racist comment or something. You step up and you say, "This is not acceptable." And that's it. I think it's The Rock. I like The Rock. Anyway, he was saying that. He's like, don't go starting like screaming at people. Don't punch them in the face. But it's important to step up and tell people, we don't do that here. This is not the world I want to be in. And this is not the world you want to be in. Yeah. And saying that makes it better. Because those terrible toxic cultures, that's the thing, is that they're usually cultural. A lot of folks are, you know, trash talk. I'm the first to love trash talk. When I'm with my friends here in a closed room and we're around the table playing board games, I will say the most vile, hostile shit I've ever heard. Because it's funny, because we know each other and we love each other and we know what the boundaries are and what humor is about. If I'm in a group with people I don't know, this is not okay, ever. No. Oh. People forget that online. They're like, oh, you know what? That's the kind of shit I find funny, so I'll say this. And I saw this streamer say that super horrible, toxic shit, and I thought it was hilarious, so I'm going to say it again and repeat it. And it's not even – it gets to a point where sometimes it's not even about you believing that shit. It's just that's what people say. That's what you call people. That's what you say when someone dies. That's it. And and that's not okay. And that can be changed. That can be changed.
It could be changed quicker than most people think, actually. And it's funny because, you know, on the Moment of Toxicity, Robbie, you were in the FF14 community, the FF11 community, and you guys made Limit Break Radio, which people did not understand that their toxicity was being parodied. Mm-hmm. But it was a hilarious show because what you guys were able to do was to take all the toxic stuff that you saw about the game, put it into these different characters and throw it right back at people. And people hated you guys for it.
They either loved us or hated us. But, you know, it's interesting because I never really kind of looked at it as, you know, the way that you just put it, that some people maybe to them, it's their type of humor that they're putting out there. And obviously, yes, you know, you want to make sure that when you're around your friends, you guys know you trust each other. You know, you get that at the heart of it, as twisted as it may be, that it's just them trying to be funny. And when you go out and you do that in the general public, you know, there are a lot more people that you're probably hurting. And I think and looking back on it now, there are a lot of times when, you know, trolls would come in or people would come in and try and disrupt stuff. You know, we would throw that right back at them. And eventually, when they had just came in maybe to try and disrupt it and troll us, they end up sticking around long enough to realize that, okay, you know what, actually these guys may have a point. And a lot of times we turn trolls into fans, and then after that we never saw that same type of humor from them. And I don't know, I guess for me, I'd always assume that it was either people were there to just put this horrible stuff into the world, or they weren't, and I don't know, maybe there's some people that exist in the middle there that just don't understand.
Yeah. I think that's the most insidious part of all of this is because I don't want to believe that the world is filled with malevolent people, and I don't think it is. Most of that pain that's caused is by people who don't even know they're causing it. They just think it's it's not okay. Oh, I thought it was okay. I thought that's how you talk to girls.
Yeah,
you talk to people. Yeah. It's what's it? Locker room talk. I think your politicians call it. So it's
it's not okay.
There are some pools of culture where this is understood to be just how it is. If you want to be one of the guys, because it's usually guys. But even then, usually. I mean, there's some nasty things between girls too, and pretty much everybody's able to be hostile and vile, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's most people, if you take 5 minutes to explain to them that this is not okay, hey, this hurts me, and you're like, oh shit, I didn't know, I'm sorry, and then you move on.
I want to definitely ask this as a game developer too, because for me there is. I grew up in a city that is majority African American, and by majority, I mean like 80%. So I did not encounter a lot of like in-person racism until I was, I don't want to say well into my adult years, but definitely not until I was an older teenager. Mm. But when I started playing a lot of Call of Duty,
ooh, different. It would change real quick. It doesn't even matter about race at that point. They'll just use words to kind of
it flipped real fast.
Yeah.
And so I want to ask, as a game developer, how tricky is it to begin to start to think about, okay, well, we can't start censoring chat because, one, technologically incredibly difficult, and two, you don't want people to not be able to chat with one another openly. And so how difficult is it to tiptoe that balance?
Essentially, there are companies out there that we are working with to integrate more and more, because chat can be, I think the correct term is they sanitize chat. And so they have dictionaries of words. There are words that, no matter what the context, they shouldn't be used. We know that. Right. There's a couple. And then there are phrases, and it's turns of phrases. And I mean, there's some very smart people working on AI able to decipher and pick out the bits that shouldn't be there and things that are repeated. And then people try to be clever and find ways around by using either lead speak or whatever the hell to try to go around.
Right.
Put your effort somewhere else, please. But still, there are ways for us to make things better. And we are working on a few of those. We're integrating with a few companies that's all they do. This is something that would be prohibitively difficult to do in-house. But fortunately, there are services out there. There are companies out there that do create these kind of services, and they offer that. And we are working with them to try to make things better. The other way we go about doing that, as I was saying earlier, is literally by trying to educate the community, by trying to talk to them in a certain way, by trying to clearly state this is not okay, and by banning a shitload of bad people. And people come back and they go, literally, they will send in support tickets saying, I was banned from the chats, I'm so sorry, I just made a joke. And we're like, yeah, that sucks, isn't it? Now think about what you've done. Like, that's it.
Yeah, it consequences are incredibly important. And I think because of the ability for people to just make dupe emails and new accounts and stuff, it there's a lot of it that punishment feels like it lacks permanence and lacks impact sometimes, because people are just able to hop back into the game. But I agree. I think when game developers take it upon themselves to say, you know what, not acceptable, you got 45 reports on you in 2 weeks, yeah, I don't think you should be playing the game. It's time for you to sit down.
That's it's tough to sell that to some people within the industry, saying, oh, you want to cut players out of the game? You know, paying customers should stop being allowed to pay you? And like, for some people, it's a really tough conversation to have, but it's necessary. And some companies value that more than others. And I'm trying not to pass judgment. I am passing judgment a little bit, but I'm trying not to pass judgment, because businesses are tough to run, and it's complicated. However, at behavior, I'll say we've not always been great. We try to do our best, and we try to get better. We try to listen to people and see what's out there, what people do well, what people don't do so well. And we try to do more of the well stuff and less of the other stuff. I'm going to say, I do believe that, okay, I'm going to say this. I do believe very strongly that we've done a pretty good job. So
I would agree. I think out of you guys, at least have openly, I can't think of a single instance where you've made mistakes off the top of my head or anything, but I think you guys have done a very good job at consistently, like, making your points heard and making it your community feel safe. Out of most groups, I mean, me being part of that community, I feel like I've never once felt like I was attacked, you know, other than, you know, just someone in the chat being a jerk. But like, I think you guys are doing a great job. And that's really why I wanted to have you guys on here to talk about that today. And I'm so excited that you are here to give us like your viewpoints and things like that. So thank you so much, Matthew, for coming on today.
It's my pleasure. It feels like you're wrapping up. Are we wrapping up?
We could bring up another thing. We have like 6 more minutes, but I mean,
I've got nowhere else to go. That's not true. I'm going to a cottage.
I was going to say, what happened to vacation?
But I'm not in a hurry. That's the magic of vacation. I'm not in a hurry.
That's fair.
It's
And this is important. Awesome. No, this feels like an important conversation.
In the chat, they want to keep talking about butts in the chat.
Yeah, all right. We'll end it again. Yeah, we'll end everyone.
Hey,
reminder.
Peanuts is here. Hi, Peanuts.
Peanuts is one of our community managers. I love Peanuts. You know what? While he's in the chat, I got to say about, I don't know, a couple months ago, my boyfriend was gloating. My boyfriend was gloating that he beat you in a game. So, Peanuts, I'm just saying.
I mean, listen, I appreciate this community because I love the fact that they can take a very serious conversation to go. Oh, absolutely agree. We love you guys 100%. Let's get back to the butts.
I mean, if you can't talk about butts, we're doomed as a society, I think.
I don't know. You know what? No, I think butts bring people together. I think it's the opposite. You know,
it's
something that, you know, most people enjoy. We could all enjoy it.
I'm a big butt enthusiast. And a big butt enthusiast.
There you go.
Even Peanuts
is asking about the pyramid head butt. Hmm.
See, even the community managers are like, listen, the butt nerf. It's a nerf. Matt, admit it. It's a nerf.
Seriously, Peanuts, you're helping nothing. Oh my God. I'm have a talk about this.
Ooh, Monday's going to be a big day.
No. Oh, no, man. I'm not there on Monday.
Yeah, he's on vacation at the,
that's right,
at the,
I'm sorry,
the cottage.
Oh, yeah.
But thank you, Matthew, so much for coming in today. We really appreciate you. You are welcome at Checkpoint anytime, obviously.
But now we have a date to play again with a few special guests.
100%. So that's going to happen in October sometime.
100%. And so thanks again. And we hope you have a good vacation.
Thank you very much. And thank you for inviting me. I think that these, it's sort of refreshing. It's always difficult because it takes a lot of effort to have those conversations and to try to do the right thing. It's not easy, but it's extremely satisfying, at least to me. I feel that I'm very lucky to have been given a bit of a platform by the fact that Dead by Daylight is so big and now people listen when I talk. And that means that I get the opportunity to try to pass a message, and I do try to make it good. We'll get there.
I think you do a fine job. I think you do a fine
thank
job.
You.
You're welcome.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.